Welcome to you again. Thank you for being with us. This is the first Sunday in the season of Advent. I don't know if you have a whole lot of opportunity to go over and visit in Ashland. For those of you watching on the internet, that's Ashland, Ohio, just down the road from here. There was this marvelous gift given to the city of Ashland, $100,000, with which it could decorate the downtown for Christmas. If you've not seen it yet, they've done some really neat things. In the one park, there's a giant new art installation of enormous Christmas ornaments. There's lights on all of the trees, Christmas trees in all of the flower pots. And probably the part that I was most impressed by, a life-size set of statues for the nativity scene as you enter from downtown from the one side of town. And it's beautiful. And there is this wonderfully serene picture of animals and Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And of course, the Magi, who shouldn't be here yet, but we'll leave that out. And it's this very lovely, peaceful scene. And that's one of the things I like best about Christmas time. So much of our imagery that is part of our Christmas time worship is peaceful, relaxing, calming. I will admit I have a small addiction to Hallmark Christmas movies. If you are not a Hallmark person, my apologies, because I think they're great. Something or other about seeing the snow and the mountain landscapes, because they're always somehow in the mountains, and the ski lodge, it just makes my blood pressure go down, makes me breathe deeply. My wife and I like to sit on the couch and hold hands and watch our Hallmark movie and just kind of from the stress of day-to-day life. Christmas is oftentimes, unfortunately, also associated with the other side. It's associated with stress and anxiety and worry and fear. Is the tree going to be good? Is the presents going to be well-received? How are the family going to get together? Are we going to have to travel a lot? Are they going to travel to us? So there's that strange balance between calm, peaceful imagery, and of course, the fundamental tension of the season. And during the season of Advent, which is really where we are right now at the very beginning, it's almost as though the people who put together our scriptures understood this strange, diametrically opposed conflict between the peacefulness of the images of the season and the sense of anxiety and concern and fear that drives so many of us during the holiday season to achieve, 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 do, experience, experience, buy, worry. Because here we are at the beginning of Advent. Here we are at the beginning of this time, this season, where we are to calmly reflect on the baby Jesus who is going to come to us, and also, with hope and thanksgiving, reflect on the Christ who is going to come again. And so it gives us this text, this gospel text that begins with catastrophe, with calamity, with destruction, with the very, very distinctively frightening imagery. Things are going to go horribly wrong, it says. And you, it says, dear reader, please be on guard, because you may face all of these horrible tragedies around you, this constant conflict, waves of the sea confusing the ocean and making the nations question what they're supposed to do, and everything thrown into chaos. And it says you may find yourself in a state of drunkenness, dissipation, and worry. Well, why? Well, because you can only take chaos for so long before you become numb to it. And of course, when we read this passage, we're tempted to think, Jesus is talking about the second coming. And he is. We're also tempted to think, see, before Christ comes, the world will be thrown into chaos. But of course, that's not what the rest of this passage indicates. I mean, if suddenly the world were thrown into chaos, then people wouldn't suddenly become immune to it, as though, there's always been chaos. Nothing to worry about. We're just going to give in to our despair. No. What the text is saying to us is that this is actually humanity's natural state. Chaos is a part of our existence. That what it's describing, how the world is falling apart around the people of this earth, is not new. But a continual state of humanity finding new ways to destroy itself. This is not new. It says that after so long of watching humanity again and again take one step forward, two steps backwards, it might be our natural human inclination to give up. To give up hope specifically. See, this is what Jesus is trying to get us who read this passage to understand. That we live in a world that is perpetually on the verge of destroying itself. That's not new. And yes, I know we're facing things today that we've not faced in our lifetime. Although it's not fair to say that we've not faced them in the past. It's not like this is the first time we've ever had a terrible pandemic. It's not the first time we've ever struggled over how to deal with it, what to do with it. It's not even the first time we've struggled over how do we deal with various different vaccines and mandates. Go back, read the history of how we struggled as a nation over the smallpox vaccine. It was enormous conflict. It was convoluted and, yes, chaotic. So we're not living a new reality. We just happen to be living the current incarnation of it. The wave that's coming through now is just a copy of every wave that's come through before. How we deal with it is what Jesus is talking about. He says that because humanity has forever been facing these constantly stacked against us odds, that there is danger that we will give up, that we'll quit waiting, quit trusting, and most importantly, quit hoping. Quit hoping for the day when Jesus Christ returns and sets things right. And Jesus says, you don't want to be unprepared for that day. It is coming. And this world's constant state of hopelessness that wants to lull you into a hopeless state, he says specifically, is a trap. A trap set for us by Satan, who wants nothing more than for us to stop holding on to hope. Because as soon as we let go of our hope that Jesus Christ will come again and set things right, we will fall into exactly what he says. Dissipation, depression, worry, stepping away from God's promises. Because God has promised us that he will set everything right. And when we gather here during the season of Advent to celebrate this new Advent season, we are here to celebrate because Christ promises us that he is coming again. He promises us that he will come for us to take us to his kingdom. And he promises the world that when he does, he will set everything right. It is difficult for us to hold on to that hope, especially when the world around us so consistently tries to take it away. But that's why our hope comes from outside of this world. That's why our hope comes from God alone. Because if we're looking to this world for solutions and hope, we'll be disappointed. But in God, there is no disappointment, only hope. So welcome to the season of Advent. I hope you will stay focused on the coming Christ. Amen.